Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Lord, I just ask that today, you just help us be free to open in our worship, God, that we give you everything you deserve. God, I also ask that you help us to desire a relationship with you that's so much closer. It's the relationship you're looking for where we're unified with you, Lord, but we're also unified with your church so that we can be powerful and effective in our community. Lord, I just ask that you help us to love you more and you help us to love others more and help us as we go back into worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Do you know that this is literal scripture of a promise that's upon your life, that you have blessing upon you? And not that it's just upon you, but that as you hunger and thirst for God and press in the things of Him, that it's going to trickle down through your kids, that it's going to trickle through generations. Things that people always worry about in this day and age, right? Oh, but cancer runs through my family. Heart problems run through my family. No, they don't. See, that's the thing. When God comes in, He changes everything. There's nothing that He can't touch because blessing is upon your life. All you have to do is take hold of it. Woo! May His favor be upon you.
So there's something I want to share real quick. Forgot about talking about this microphone. But you know what? This is actually scriptural to have somebody more than just the pastor talk. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you." You see, we're all put together to build each other up, to help each other, to work with one another. That's why I always found it so important that we give back to the church, especially our time. But I wanted to share this. There was a women's conference here 2 years ago, and one thing my wife received was this little, like, treasure chest type thing. It's a little tiny, small thing. And inside of it was some anointing oil. And Ben found it. And he had just found it. He just got given a treasure chest. He colored it. It was at some summer thing he did. And then he's like, "Hey, Mom, what's this?" And he brings it over. And, "What's this oil?" And so then she tells him what it is, you know, what anointing oil is. And you know, he said, "Well, I want to be anointed." So then McKay anointed him and prayed for him. I anointed him and prayed for him. And then it didn't just stop there, right? So he was out with his friends. And he actually took the little treasure chest with him. And McKay didn't know this. But then he said, "Hey," he told his friend, and he's like, "Hey, can I anoint you?" And at first he's like, I don't know. Because he didn't know what it was. He didn't want to get wet. So then they explained it and did it to Micaiah. And then he did it to him. He's like, "Yeah, I'll do that." So here he was praying over his friend, blessing him, anointing him, and his mom. And the thing is like, you know, for me, it just really shows that proverb is true. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, will not leave it. And I just really encourage everybody here, parent or not, if you have some influence on somebody who's younger than you, use that to train them up so that will be on the right path. Okay, because they're going to see the things you have around you. They're going to ask questions about it. They're going to see your actions, and they're going to want to do those actions as well. They're going to copy those things that you do. So it's also this thing to tell you, like, self-control is a big thing. Giving is a big thing. Loving is a big thing. always do that because the kids, they'll pick up on that and they'll be blessed for it. So I just encourage you to do the same. And also, like I said, this mic is for everybody. So if you have something to share, come on up.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. I like this. May his favor be upon you. And a thousand generations. How long?
Thousand
generations. Come on, man. Favor. Amen. Your family, your children, their children, their children, their children, and their children, and their children, and their children. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is for you. Amen. Is that what it says? Put the next one up. God is for you. He 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 is for you. Say it this way. He is for me. He is for me. He's for me. Can I tell you that God's not against you? Can you say amen to that? He's not against you. He's for you. Is that okay? That's good to know. Is that right? You can call upon God anytime. Wherever, whatever you do, you can call upon him anytime because he's for you. He's not against you. He loves you and he cares about you. Morning, Bobby. Good to see you, Mew. Come on, man. No more pizza, huh? No more pizza. Praise God. Bobby, glory to God. God is for you. Can you say amen to that? Let's give God a clap offering this morning. Hallelujah. Say it this way. God's for me. He'll always be for me. Is that right? Say that to yourself. God is for me. He'll always be for me. Glorious. The title of the sermon today, His Glorious Work. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor. Now look at the one on the other side. And look at him. Look the other way again. Keep kind of doing a double take. Keep looking at him. Keep looking at him. You know what? The title is His Glorious Work. You know, do you know, you got to know this, that you are His glorious work. God is at work in you, if you will. He is, He will continue to work in you. Is that right? The Bible says that He will accomplish that what He started within you. Can you say amen to that? God is going to take you places that you never realized or even thought that you were going to go. Because He is in charge of your life. Can you say amen to that? There is no other but Him. He is in charge. Hallelujah. And so when the quicker you recognize that, the quicker you're okay with Him being in charge of your life, you'll find that even when it hurts, you can say, God, you're in charge. You can say, God, I'm going to praise you anyway. Can you say amen to that? He stole my truck. God, I'm going to praise you anyway. I wrecked my truck. God, I'm going to praise you anyway. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. It doesn't make sense. Is that right? But it is. It's perfect sense in the kingdom of God. If you believe in the kingdom, can you say amen to that? Come on, hallelujah. So I'm going to take you to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. We're going to talk about this work that God is doing in your life, that He is desiring to do with you. Can you say amen? Not without you, but with you. He wants to do it with you. He wants to change things within you. Is that okay? Is that okay for God to change things? He wants to get that stinky old attitude out of you. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, who are you talking about? Look at your neighbor and say, now he's talking about you. Yeah. Yeah. Get that stinky neighbor. Get that stinky attitude out of you. I'm going to drink some water if it's okay. Man, that song was getting me excited. Man, I was getting fired up, man. My poor guitar, the strings are hot right now. I was getting fired up on that song, man. I was getting ready to jump up and run around. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, man, because I know that God's for us. I know that everything that goes on in our life, God is saying, look, I'm right here with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you. give me opportunity to disclose what I have for you in this. Can you say amen to that? Whatever you're going through, He wants to show you things. He wants to bring things to your understanding of what's going on. Amen. We're living in a world today where it's kind of go, what's going on? Do you remember that song? Anybody remember that song? What's going on? Father, Father. Yeah. Do you remember that song? What's going on? You can sing that to the Father. Father, Father, what's going on? I don't know, God, what's going on. But you know what? He knows what's going on. And He's going to watch you over you. He's going to take care of you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you is what His word says, if you'll believe it. So in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, Nicodemus has come to Jesus, and he's got some questions for him. Jesus has got some answers. Amen? How many know that Jesus is the answer? So it's being that He is the answer, there's going to be answers no matter what. So John chapter 3, verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came by night to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that You do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom has to be seen by faith. Can you say amen to that? Faith sees things that other people can't see. Is that okay? How many of you ever told the doctor, says, well, I know my God's going to take care of us, and they look at you kind of crazy. Is that right? They do it all the time. See, because faith sees things that other people don't see. And this is what's beautiful about the kingdom. The more you exercise your faith, the more you'll see God do things. Can you say amen to that? Because God wants to do things on your behalf. So He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Don't be silly. Is that right? Don't be silly. Nicodemus, I don't know if this was a real question in his heart, or he's just trying to show that I don't understand what you're saying. Terry, can you turn these lights down a little bit, man? I don't want to be up here squinting at everybody. It's kind of, those lights are bright, man. This light bar right in front of me, man. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Are you guys okay with that? Being out, can you guys read your Bibles? Hey, there's people here. Come on, man. Praise God. Hey, now I'm nervous. Yeah, come on, man. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto Him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you not a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say to you, we speak that that we do know, testify that what we've seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? See, Jesus is making a very good point with Nicodemus. He's telling him, we speak what we know. And then he says, and what we have seen. But you see, what we have seen, we see with eyes of faith. Is that okay? Being that you see with eyes of faith, we see things different than a lot of people around us. Is that okay? Are you cool that people don't see things the same as you? Are you all right with that? Especially when Jesus is in your life. Because of Him, people just won't see things the way you see it. When you tell them, oh, everything's going to be all right. Yeah, I've heard that song before. It doesn't even work out right. No, it will be okay. God will watch over you. We see things a lot different than what. But Jesus, notice that word. And if you want to go back a page there, Terry, where Jesus says, you must be born again. You must be born again. I remember talking to a guy up at the mine when I was working there, and he's talking to me. He looks at me. He goes, you stop right there. I go, yeah, okay. Because I was just rattling on. I was feeling the Holy Spirit, and I'm just rattling on. You guys know this. When I sense the Holy Spirit, I just start, man, it just starts flowing out. Anyway, he goes, stop right there. I said, yeah. He goes, you're one of them Christians, aren't you? You're one of them born again people, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. Yeah, you betcha. Yeah, I am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Can you say amen to that? How many of you are not ashamed of God's gospel? That should be every hand in the house. Because this is the gospel that saves people. Maybe it hasn't saved you yet, but it will if you'll listen with your heart. You must be born again to even see the things of the kingdom. Is that okay? This is true. Jesus himself was saying these things to Nicodemus. See, Jesus was revealing secrets to a man that had studied the law and walked in the law and walked in all of the ordinances of Israel. He'd walked in those. He knew them. He was a leader in Israel. And Jesus is bringing him right back down to the starting point. You must be born again to understand God's kingdom. Isn't that cool? It's a good deal. Nicodemus, this is a good deal. You'll like this. Oh, I believe that Nicodemus, man, by the time he got through talking to Jesus, I believe he had some understanding. I believe that he loved Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus talked about, he goes, if I talk to you about earthly things and you don't understand, how will it work out for you if I talk to you about heavenly things and you don't understand? It's not going to work out for you because you got to be born again to understand the heavenly things. That's cool. I love it, man. I love Jesus. See, Jesus was opening mysteries to this man. Mysteries that probably he'd thought of all his life. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 and 11. Jesus is talking, he's teaching, and he's teaching in parables. He was teaching the parable of the sower. And as he's teaching, his disciples stopped them and they asked him a question. They said this, his disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You see, these mysteries are there. There are mysteries, but they're hard to understand sometimes because you must be born again to understand. Is that okay? I'll tell you, there's a lot of people will tell you, you're crazy. You're crazy. But they don't get it. Is that okay? It really is okay. Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Why? Because they're not born again. Is that okay? These men were headed to be changed. God was working in their lives. He's going to change them. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 7 says this. I'm going to say it again one more time, in case y'all didn't hear this part. You must be born again. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. It's what Jesus said. See, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people think that they're going to heaven because they're good people. Is that right, Reuben? They think I'm going to heaven because I never sin. I'm going to heaven because, you know, I don't drink. I'm going to heaven because I don't smoke pot. I don't do drugs. I'm not an adulterer. I don't do all these things. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good man. I'm a good person. You can't get to heaven that way. You must be born again. Is that what the word says? Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say that nowadays. Sometimes to some people. because they say, well, you're being you're being very dogmatic is what they're saying. Yeah, well, no, I didn't say this. Jesus said it. You must be born again. I'm going to leave that alone because I think I wrote on it for a while. Is that right? How many know that you must be born again? You know it now. Now you can't deny it. You know it now. That's a good thing, Lord. See, I like the Lord when he traps you. Is that right? Feel like a little bird in a trap. Yeah, he just got you. You must be born again. Born again is being, it's a mystery about being born again. How does it work? I don't know. Sometimes it's even hard to explain. Somebody doesn't know anything about it. They've never been born again. It's kind of hard to explain. There's a change that happens within you. When I got born again, I mean, drinking stopped like that. I didn't go to AA. Drinking stopped the day I gave my heart to the Lord. That day I was cleansed and I was washed from that. And I haven't been back. It's 1979. Haven't been back there yet. Not going back there. I'll never go back. I don't know why I said yet, but as not that. But I'd say there is a difference when you've been born again. When the love of God touches your heart, I will tell you, you know it. You're going to know it. And he's going to say some things to you. And it's best that you pay attention to what he's saying. You must be born again. John chapter 1, verse 13 says this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, you were born into this world not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. But you were born in this world because God said, that's something, you're coming in, man. You had no say. Can you say amen to that? You were little bitty. And you got no say, and you were born. And this same thing, being born again, is the same thing. You're born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You're born again by the will of God. Can you say amen to that? See, God wills, he desires that all flesh be saved. He wants everybody to get saved. That's why we have a message to give them. Is that okay? Sometimes you just got to open your mouth and say, hey, man, God does love you. He cares about you. Open your mouth. Come on, man. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Says it this way, and the King James says, whosoever believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him, that begot loves him that is begotten of him. I'm going to read that again. Is it okay? Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loves him that begat, which is God, loves him also that is begotten, which is Jesus. Okay? I'm going to read that in the TPT for Tommy. Is that okay? Tommy, let's read it. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah is God's spiritual child and has been fathered. Look at that word, fathered by God himself. Everyone who loves the Father, who loves Father God, loves his children as well. Do you see that? If you love, if you're in this, if you're a Christian, you'll love your brother and sister, but you are fathered by God. Is that okay? He's your father. Talked about that last week. How about God being your father? God is your father. No one is born without God. No one is born again without God. Isn't that cool? God has a plan. He's always had a plan. And he's gonna execute that plan. Pretty cool, huh? I'm going to open another. This is the mystery I've been wanting to talk to you about for quite a while. And God has been talking to me. And last night when I was doing this, I was talking a little bit about the mysteries. And the Lord says, yeah, give them the mystery about grass. How many like grass? Anybody smoke grass? Yeah, come on, man. Come on. Is there any ex-grass smokers in the house? Yeah. We got a few. Is that right? Where's Reuben? I didn't see your hand, bro. Yeah. I smoked it once or twice. It put me to sleep, so I didn't like that. Yeah, I could. If I want to go to bed, I'll go to bed. I don't know. Anyway. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 8. Now, I want you to pay attention to what we're saying, because I believe this is an opening of one of the mysteries of God. A lot of you might know this thing, but you need to look at this, okay? Because Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 says this, comfort ye, my people. How can people find comfort? The only way you're going to find comfort is knowing Christ. That's the only place you can get. Comfort comes from God. Can you say amen to that? He sends his spirit, who is also called the comforter. Is that all right? So know this, that comfort comes from God. And he says this, comfort ye my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. What does that sound like? It's talking about a future event that Jesus came and did all of this right here. He brought comfort. Amen? To Jerusalem, and her warfare is accomplished. You know, right now, Israel is in battle all the time. How many of you know that? They're always in battle. But he's talking about a spiritual warfare. He's talking about spiritual things, spiritual comfort. And he says, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isn't that crazy? The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Cool, man. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Amen. And all flesh shall see it together. Everybody's going to see it. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and everybody's going to see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I'm sorry. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? Here's why I want you. I want you to listen to this. He said, what shall I cry? Here's what I want you to cry. All flesh is grass. So he kind of tells us we're grass. And he says, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. How do you like being called grass this morning? Some of you are greener than others. Some of you are longer than others, but the word calls us grass, and there's a reason that he's telling us. He says, because the grass withers and it fades and it goes away. Okay. And then he says that the grass withers, the flower fades. And then he says this, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It's a very interesting thing that he says here. The word of our God will stand forever. So he's talking about grass. He's talking about people being grass. Do you know that grass needs to be fed?
Yes.
Is that right? If you go out to these golf courses, man, you'll find that they have sheds full of fertilizer. You'll find that they have sheds full of seed. It has to be reseeded. It has to be watered. How many know it has to be watered? Grass has to be watered. So if he's saying that we're like grass, he says, so we got to be fed and we got to be watered.
Yes.
We got to be fed and watered. How many like eating? Anybody like eating? Now, y'all, come on, man. I only saw three hands in the whole house. And I know y'all like to eat. Is that right? Come on, man. Hey, how many of you like, I'm going to say it again. How many of you like eating? Yeah. How many like being fed? Yeah. How many like being watered? I mean, get a little something to drink, you know? How many like mango nala? Anybody like mango nalas? Man, I love them things. If they can get bigger than what their biggest size is, I'd be happy. You guys know what mango nala is? Nobody does? Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I should have never mentioned it. Hey, go down to the Dutch Brothers and order a mango nada. Man, Linda Enix bought me the first one I ever had. She bought it for me. I go, holy moly, this is good stuff. But we all like being watered, amen? So grass needs food and watering. And he's telling the people are like grass. They need food and water. Is that right? You got to be watered. And then it says, the word of our God shall stand forever. He's hinting something to us that we're fed by the word of God. Okay? All right, so I want to go to Psalm chapter 103, verses 15 through 18. Psalm 103 is one of my favorite chapters of all my favorite chapters. As for man, his days are as what? Grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. Oh, how nice. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Yeah. See, he's talking about us. Is that okay? I don't like it. I'm saying, I don't know if I like this. That I'm going to fade. The wind's going to go over me and dry me up. And the place that I live is going to know me no more. Kind of, I don't know if I like this or not. But then he says this, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. He's got a good word behind that. And I looked at this and I said, man, this is kind of crazy. I said, you know, it's like God is saying, you know what, you're going to fade out sooner or later. And I think I was telling the Lord, I believe that's contrary to scripture. I think that's backwards, God. Knowing you, should we should get stronger and stronger and stronger. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that strength comes from the presence of God? In God's presence, there's fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. You stay in God's presence. I don't know if you're getting it this morning, but man, I was starting to get fired up. I was full of joy. I enjoyed worshiping God with His Word. Can you say amen to that? And it's really a beautiful thing. So I said, I don't see, God, how this works. Why would you be telling us we're like grass? And why would you say we're going to fade? But then at the end, you say the mercy of the Lord endures forever. And the word of God is from everlasting to everlasting. Why would you say that, God? And I'm going to tell you, when he first said it to me, he says, this is what he said to me. That's Old Testament. Okay, I don't know if I get that. What do you mean that's Old Testament? He said, yeah, that's Old Testament. That is before Christ. Do you know that? Because Jesus changed things. How many know that Jesus changed things? There's a big change in the way Jesus brought religion to the chopping block, if you will. He destroyed religion and brought relationship with a holy God. Do you understand that? It's a whole different thing with Jesus. And so when God told me this, is that was Old Testament. And I said, okay, I don't understand what you're telling me, but whatever, God. I mean, you know what I like about God? If he says something to you, he'll explain it later. He can explain things. I said, I know what I heard, but I don't get it. And I was just happened to be reading in Peter. Let me say Old Testament things. How many believe that the New Testament is good? It's better than the Old Testament. I mean, how many are glad you don't have to bring a dove or a cow or a lamb? And Henry and Rick and Terry and Pastor John were out there slaughtering animals. How many are glad about that? I'm glad. I don't want to kill them things. I have a hard time killing animals. It breaks my heart, man. Yeah, and so I believe this New Testament is wonderful. The relationship that God has brought. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 says this. So, by so much was Jesus made a surety. If that surety is a guarantee of a better covenant. You see that? Can I tell you, folks, you're in a better covenant. You are in the best covenant when God is in your life. You've got no better agreement, no better contract than what God has given you in His Son. Can you say amen? All right, here we go. So, the New Testament is better. So, I'm reading through Peter, and I believe that Peter clarifies what we just got through reading in the Old Testament. So, this is 1 Peter chapter 23 through 25. Peter's writing down things and preaching or whatever, but he says, being born again. How many of you know you must be born again? Does anybody not know that in the house? You must be born again. Look at your neighbor and say, gotta be. Look at your neighbor and say, you must be born again. Are you guys awake? Anybody awake? Say, yeah, hey, hello, wake up. You must be born again. Say, tell that to somebody. I don't care who it is, just look at, tell it to me if you want. You must be born again. Yes, I must. Here's Peter saying, is you being born again, not of corruptible seed. Do you see what brings you into being born again? It's the Word of God. It's not of corruptible seed. It is the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You got that? Everybody say lives and abides forever. Lives and abides forever. The Word of God lives and abides forever. For all flesh, here's Peter, now he's up. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the field. As grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof fades away. And then he says this, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Is that okay? That's a good word for you. You see, because you're born again by the Word of God. And that word dwells in you, and that word that dwells in you is eternal. Can you say amen? It lives forever. Therefore, so this is what Peter, now watch what he says. This is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Do you understand that? You see that? It's this word. So this is going to sound pretty crazy, but I'll tell you, this is why a pastor, this is why me or your good friend that's a Christian would tell you, you've got to stay in the Word of God. You've got to read the Word of God. Because the Bible says, the Word of God says, when you love God, He by His Holy Spirit will write His Word upon your heart. You see, you want His Word written on your heart because it lives and abides forever. The more Word written on your heart, the more resistant you are to passing away. Can you say amen to that? I will tell you, you're in a church that we teach some crazy things, but we teach the mysteries. I believe we teach the mysteries of God. And one of the mysteries is that you don't have to die. Do you know that? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But if your sins have been washed away, you've got no excuse for dying. Can you say amen to that? No excuse. The Bible says that by His stripes you've been healed. Jesus has paid a price to get you holy. Is that okay? Yeah, see, so, but our problem is our thinking thinks that we got, the older we get, the more decrepit we, is that right? Is that the right? Yeah. Decrepit? Is that the right word? Yeah. Somehow it feels weird. The older we get, the more decrepit we should be. The more we're going to lose our minds. Is that right? You're going to lose your eyesight. You're not be able to walk. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff that goes on because that's just what we think has to happen. Is that all right? But it doesn't have to happen. God's Word abides forever. And if it's within your heart, the Bible says this. Let me show you. If He's dwelling within you, is that okay? I want you to look at this. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. But after the loving kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration. Everybody say regeneration. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Spirit has a job to do in your life. Don't resist Him. What He says to you, what you read in the Word, believe it. Allow the Word of God to penetrate into your mind by the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can write these things down so that you'll never forget them. Can I tell you that, you know, there's people say, well, they've got, what's that when they can't remember things anymore? What's that called? I'm asking you right now, yeah. Let me tell you, there's no Alzheimer's in the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Can you believe it? The Word of God says, you know, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and of power, the Holy Ghost. And then it says, and of a sound mind. How many of you like soundness in mind? So don't let anybody tell you, see, because the Word of God tells you this. Out there, they're going to tell you, yeah, you're going to forget things. You're going to, you know, I remember people telling, as I was getting older, people, oh, yeah, you're just getting older. You're going to forget. I said, hey, I don't think it's an old thing. I remember driving my kids to the high school and my daughter looking at me. She goes, Dad, I forgot my books. Oh, come on, man. So I read it back to my house. Well, you're going to have to do it without your books. And my son, Dad, yeah, I forgot my tennis shoes. I got practice tonight. Sorry, man. You're going to remember next time. See, forgetting isn't an old thing. It's just what everybody does. But see, people will tell you, well, you're just getting older. Don't let them tell you that. Don't let them speak those things to you. You know, smack them in the mouth. Knock them down and... No, man. Just say amen. Say, if that's what you want to think, it's okay for you, but it's not for me. My God says that I have a sound mind because of the Spirit of God that dwells in me. Is that okay? See, because the glory of God will be revealed in us and through us. So when you speak the Word of God and you say, well, no, I don't get that. I don't know, because God's Word says this. All of a sudden, the glory of God's showing up. And they're saying, well, you're crazy. Yeah, well, I am. But watch. You watch what's right. Folks, we have been positioned with truth that where everybody around us says that it's not true, they're going to see that it is true. They're going to remember you. They're going to say, oh, yeah, I remember that person told me this. And you know what? I see that it was true. It was true. Folks, because truth never fades away. It's always relevant. It's always right now. Come on. So he says, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Spirit's work in your life to renew you and to wash you and to make you understand the things that God has done for you. Because God has put you in a marvelous contract. Is that okay? A marvelous contract. So I want you to look at this word washing. This is the Greek word for washing. Lutron. Everybody say lutron. 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 This is washing. Some of you need to go lutron. Go home and take a bath. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right. This is what it means. This is what this word means. Yeah. The word lutron means, oh, did I not put down on there what it meant, Terry? Yeah. You know what it means? It means bathing. It means taking a bath. By the washing. And then it says, by the washing of regeneration. Now this word regeneration, I want you to look at. Regeneration, the Greek word is palingnesia. Palingnesia. You see that? Everybody said, look at your neighbor and say palingnesia. All right? Yeah. And this word regeneration means a new birth. Born again, you must be born again. Is that right? Is that okay? Born again, it means renewal. I love these words. Recreation. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Maybe I love it more than you do. But I love it. That's not recreation. That's recreation. Is that right? Recreation. And then restoration of something to its, what? Pristine state. What does pristine mean? Pristine state. Perfect. Perfect. Perfect state. You see, yeah, you might have messed up your knees in college, but the Holy Spirit has an ability to recreate those things. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You might have lost all your teeth in a car wreck. I don't know. eating wood. I don't know what you guys do. Yeah, but listen, but God is able to do that. See, but we, for some reason, we have released faith in those, some of these areas. Can you say amen to that? What you need is hold on to your faith and say, no, man, God can give me more teeth. Is that right? Can let me just ask you a simple question. Can God grow teeth in your mouth?
Yes.
How many say yes? I need hands. Yes. How many say yeah? Can God do it? Yes. See, the Bible says, I mean, all things are possible with God. Is that right? How many things is it? Oh, but he can't put teeth in my mouth. Yes, he can.
Yes, he can.
Oh, he can't fix my eye. Yes, he can. Come on, man. Nothing is impossible with God. Is that right?
Amen.
There's a couple of things in them. It's impossible for him to lie. And what he's told you, he can do. But so actually, I like this. What he told you, he can do. So it's actually up to you. What do you want from him? What is it that you believe him for? Faith operates. Faith operates and creates things when you believe God of what he said. When you release that belief. Oh. So this washing of regeneration by the word of God. This is the Holy Spirit regenerating you. You guys want to be regenerated? Hey, just lately I've been feeling, man, I'm more tired than I have been in a long time. And I sense the Holy Spirit said, you know why? Yeah, I don't sleep enough. No. He says, because you keep saying it. Oh. Do you realize what you say with your mouth affects you? You might not know it, but what you say with your mouth, it affects you. It really does. Well. So watch your mouth. Is that okay? I'm going to tell you, watch your mouth. Ernie, watch your mouth, bro. Come on, man. Watch your mouth. Amen? Don't say, you know what? I think it's just my arthritis coming up. Don't say that. Speak to it. Say, now, if there's any arthritis in there, you got to go. You got no place here, man. You have to leave because my God told me that by his stripes, by the stripes that Jesus, can you picture Jesus strapped to a pole and they're whipping him? And the word of God says that those stripes were for your healing. Can you imagine explaining to him, well, maybe it wasn't for my knees. Maybe it wasn't for my eyesight. Maybe it wasn't for, no. Jesus said, no, I took care of all of it. All of it. Yeah. Folks, it's important that you speak to your own body. Is that okay? Jesus told Nicodemus, we do speak what we know. Speak what you know. If you know that Jesus paid for your sins, speak it. If you know that he paid for your healing, speak it. Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. And I could imagine him just trying to pump words out of you, man. Come on, man. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the Holy Ghost saying to you, or the Holy Spirit, come on. Come on, Henry, just say this. Just say it. Just say it. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit saying, hey, man, I've already told you this. You already know it. Just say it. Just say it. Throw it out. Get it out in the atmosphere. Because God, when he hears this thing coming out of your vessel, I will tell you, you're going to find out that God is not a liar. He is true. The folks that are out there, yeah, the medical field is great. I mean, I love them. Is that okay? Is that okay? Because they're there for when we don't know what to do. Can you say amen to that? When you don't know what to do, what do you do? I've taught you this. What do when you don't know what to do? You pray. That's right. Thank you, Aaron. If you don't know what to do, you pray. Is that right? My appendix burst on me at the mine. I was up on a ladder and it felt like somebody hit me with a rubber band on the side. You know how you shoot rubber bands at each other? It hit me, and I looked around and go, what was that? And I hadn't been feeling very good for about a week or two. Upset stomach and everything. And I go, what was that? And as I was coming down from the ladder, all of a sudden, I just got hit with pain. I could barely walk into the shop where I was working. And man, I was crunched over at a table. And a brother, this friend of mine, come on, his name is Joe Gallardo. He goes, hey, what's wrong with you? And I go, hey, bro. He goes, I go, man, I don't know. My side hurts like crazy. Well, stand up. And I said, man, I can't stand up. Hey, stand up. I'll take you over. I said, I can't stand up. And so he says, okay, let me get somebody. So they went and got him. They called the gate, and the gate sent up an ambulance, and they took me down to the gate, and I had to wait for the ambulance from town to come. So I'm rolling around on inside the ambulance. I'm rolling around with my knees up, and oh, man. The ambulance finally gets there, and they put me in the other ambulance, and they take off for Tucson. We're headed for Tucson. And I'm rolling around back there. They wanted to strap me in. I said, don't strap me in. I got to keep my legs up. I said, can't you guys give me something? And they said, well, let us call ahead. And he goes, where's it hurt? And I'm showing him where it hurts and everything. And he goes, all right. He goes, I think your appendix have exploded or ruptured. So I'm, can't you give me something? And they were coming down to Valmine Road. They gave me some narcotics. And by the time we got to the freeway, I'm going, woo, all right. I feel good now. Take me back. I'm good. They said, no, no. That's the morphine we gave you, man. You got to go to the hospital, man. And I thank God for those guys at the hospital. They knew what to do. They took care of me, and I thank God for those guys. But I will tell you, God looks on your heart, and He knows whether you believe Him or not. He knows. He's trying to get you to believe Him. Can I say that to you? What if you just stepped aside from your whatever's going on? You just stepped aside and He said, Father, I believe You, and I'm going to praise You, and I'm going to worship You. Sometimes when you got to go to the hospital, you got to go. Is that okay? But also sometimes, like Pastor John was having trouble with his heart. And maybe I shouldn't tell you that, huh? Isn't that what they call those laws? HIPAA law. Yeah. And maybe I shouldn't tell you that, but he was having trouble. So he went and they checked him out. And they said, okay, you're going to have to go to this other place and let them look at you a little better. So he goes over there. And before he left, we were praying. And I said, John, when you walk in, look for somebody that needs you, that needs a word from the Lord. Just look. Just as you walk in. And he says, all right. They checked him out and everything. And the doctor said, man, we can't find anything wrong with you, bro. You're good. He says, all right. He's all happy. He's walking out. And there's this woman. She's crying. And he goes over and he starts talking to her. And he ministers to her. The Holy Spirit gave him words for her. And he spoke life into this woman. And see, folks, I truly believe that a lot of times why you go to the hospital, because God needs you to be there for somebody. I believe it. Because I believe that I'm healed. So if I've got to go to the hospital, I said, there's got to be somebody here that needs you, Lord. Isn't that crazy? I've got a knee that pops out. We used to do ball mills at the mine, and I hear they contracted out now. But anyway, in these huge ball mills, they roll them at an angle, and all the balls are at an angle so we can get to the liners, knock the bolts out, and drag them out and put new ones in. So there's a lot of work on these balls that are in the thing side. Well, part of that is getting down and looking through the hole and getting a bar into it so that guys can putting new ones in. You could lift it a little and they could get a bolt into it. Well, while I was bent over on these balls, my knee popped out of joint. And I backed up, I stood up and I hit it as fast as I could and it went back in. Ever since then, this knee jumps out. It pops out. I'll be doing something. I was underneath a Suburban. I was putting a gas tank, and I've got this gas tank, I'm holding it, and I've got straps underneath it, and I'm getting ready to, and the bolts are too far away. I can't reach them. So I scoot around, and I try to kick them over to myself with my leg, and guess what happened? My knee pops out. So now I go, I got to let go of this thing, crawl back out, and try to pop it straight. If I get to it and I'd pop it straight right away, it'd go back in. Well, one night I'm sitting in front of the, I'm sitting at the couch. Rosie's sitting on the couch, and I'm sitting between her legs just watching the TV. We're looking. And when I went to get up, it popped out. So I sat back on the TV, and I'm on the couch, and I told Rosie, just give me a minute. I have to stand up and kick it. So I tried to get up and kick it. It wouldn't go back in. It would not go back in. I tried. And so we had this friend. I'm sorry for making this so long, but we had this friend that is a friend of Rebecca's. He was a trainer, and he had just come in with Rebecca and a couple of other girls that were coming to my house. And I told him, hey, Eddie, do me a favor, man, pull my leg. He looked at me, he goes, no. No, he thought it was one of those pull my finger things. Yeah. That's what he thought. I go, no, Matt. I got my. I'm out of joint, man. Pull on it, man. He goes. Well, let me see, man. He grabbed my foot and he goes, you know what? You probably need to get it looked at. I said, no, just pull it. Pull. He says, you know what? If you call an ambulance, you can get it right in. If you drive down there, you're gonna sit in the. All right. So we called an ambulance. Took me in there, and while I'm in there, did I tell you that? I mean, I was supposed to preach a businessmen's meeting the next day, the Saturday. It was a breakfast. And so here I am at probably 12:30 at night in the hospital with my leg. And there's a little girl just crying, screaming, just a couple beds over, and they got curtains around her. And while we're laying there, they had taken an x-ray of my leg, and I asked them, pull it, just pull it, and I'll be fine. And they said, we can't do that. There might be a vein or there might be a nerve in there, and we don't want to be responsible. Yeah, just pull it. Yeah, they wouldn't pull it. So there's this little girl over there, and I told Rosie, you know what? Go see what's going on with that little girl. And she comes over, she goes, well, the mom's, they're from Mexico, and she said, the mom says that she hasn't slept for 4 or 5 days, and she's just been crying and crying and crying. And I said, okay. So I got up, my hobble over there, thing hurt, and I said, let's pray for this. You know, so we prayed for this little girl. And I went back, heading back to the bed, and the nurse comes in. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I went to pray for the little girl. She goes, we'll take care of that. You lay down in the bed. You know, so I got on the bed, and she had brought me this thing to strap on my leg. So she's strapping it on. She's putting it on it. And when she went to tighten the top part on my thigh, she pulled that strap and boop, it went right back in. I go, oh, there it is. You fixed it. She goes, what? I said, you fixed it. She goes, no, yeah, you did. You fixed it. I said, man, it's good. I'm good. Take this thing off. So we took it off, and I, see there? It's good. That's all I wanted you to do. You know, and she goes, yeah. And then Rosie goes, you know, notice the little girl's not crying anymore. So when we headed over, the mom comes out. Oh, she's crying and everything, thanking us for praying for this little kid. See, I think God took me all the way down there just so I could pray for that little girl with my leg out of place. I said, Lord, if you want me to go to the hospital, just tell me. You don't have to hurt me to get me there. Yeah. I took that thing the next, because I said, hey, here's your thing bag. She goes, well, we opened the bag. We can't take it. It's yours. So I, all right, great. So I took it into that men's breakfast, and I told them this story, man. I totally believe that if you're having to go to the hospital, it's because God needs you there for somebody. Can you say amen to that? Can you understand that you are healed? You are washed by the blood. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That you, can you believe God that he says that you are complete in him? I only want you to look at this last scripture. This is, I got one more for you. Is that okay? Look at 11:40. You're going to get out early today. Hallelujah. Maybe I can tell you a few more stories now. Here's what Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. I want you to look at this. It says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Do you see that? See, he washed your sins away. That old man is dead. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now you're righteous. You're a man or woman of God. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body, your body, by his spirit that dwells in you. Do you see that? Do you see what he's saying? God is going to quicken you by his spirit. He's going to heal you. He's going to cause an overflow of joy to come to you because you realize that he's done something for you. Is that okay? He loves you. Glory to God. And he's going to regenerate you like you didn't even think of. God does these things. He is a miracle-working God. How many believe that? Do you believe it is today? It's who he is. And you're his people. And we are called to touch the world. Is that okay? Touch them. Touch them. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to. But I'll talk to somebody. I'll put my hand on them for a second and later on. Because the Bible says lay hands on them. So I'll lay hands on them. They don't even have to know. My kids, when they were little, I used to lay my hands on them while they were sleeping. Because they make too much noise when they're awake. You know what I mean? Yeah, will you pay attention to what I'm telling you? No, you know, I just go in the bedroom and I lay my hands on her, pray over them, speak God's word into them. Because I believe God. I believe that he will do what he says we'll do if we'll believe him. Is that okay? You can't go wrong believing God. You won't be ashamed because you believed God. You will see the result of the faith that you're walking in. Can you say amen to that? Let's stand. Praise God. Let's stand. Mm-hmm. His glorious work is in you. You are the glory of God in the earth. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God has brought you not to this church, but he's in your on this planet with his glory dwelling in you so that people can see that glory and you could help them to know him, help them to feel better, just so that God can display his glory through you. Is that cool? That's cool. I mean, and this is what God wants. Is that okay? So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are, Father, doing far abundantly above all that we ask or think, Father, that your word, God, is going out, that you are using your people, Lord God, as lights in this dark world, Father God, to change the lives of people around us, Father. Father, touch this city. Father, touch this city with these folks, Father God. Use them for your kingdom, God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Say hi to somebody. Hug a hand. Hug a hand. Hug a person. Give them a shake a hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.